Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Well, it's that time of year again. We're in the Sullivan County Catskills. We celebrate the opening of trout season. I admit I'm glad I'm not in the camper this year because it's very cold. It's in the low 30s. It's snowing. There's icy rain. And I can speak to you from the comfort of being adjacent to my wood stove. But I went into the cupboards of Trailer Talk to share the following road session from the archives. April 1st is the opening day of the trout fishing season in New York State, and fisher folk gathered at dawn. This year it was relatively warm in the 50s and clear, leading to a sunny springtime day. It's there that they cast their line into the legendary Junction Pool in Roscoe, New York. This nexus of eastern fly fishing in Roscoe, Trout Town, USA, is located 120 miles northwest of New York City in the foothills of the Catskills. This is the only place in the world where at the Junction Pool, at the convergence of the Beaverkill and Willowemoc Rivers, that folklore tells the tale of the two-headed trout that appeared in these magical waters so she could look down both rivers and contemplate her direction, as the mystic currents there caused her and all trout to slow down at that location, of course, pleasing the waders. It's fly fishing season in the Catskills. This is Sullivan County, New York, and we are in the very epicenter of the fly fishing sport. We have the most beautiful streams, the rivers, the Beaverkill, the Willowemoc, and others that are coursing through this county. So as I'm listening to the Fisk Brook outside the windows of my house, I am thinking of those waders out there, of those people, those fishermen, and that first lady of fly fishing, Joan Wolf, who are still out there during the season, which opens on April 1st, and I was fortunate to be there with Trailer Talk. So in thinking about water, the streams, the rivers, these amazing bodies that flow through these mountains. Please share with me some of the conversations I had on that opening day. Being Trout Town, USA, then.
It's a tradition that we all gather here on April 1st, whether there's snow or rain or ice.
There's been plenty of snow in the past.
That's right. Today was remarkably beautiful for April 1st, but it's a tradition that was started actually with the two-headed trout dinner being the night before the season, and it was always celebrated down at the Antrim Lodge, which was an old lodge here in town. And from what they feel, it was about the 50s when a group of local fishermen and press writers from out of New York City used
Red
to come.
Smith.
Yeah. And they would sit around Keener's Pool, which was actually the bar at the Antrim. And that started the tradition. And so the chamber took it over about 10 years ago, the two-headed trout dinner. And that has grown into a very nice fundraiser for the town.
For the town of Roscoe. Mm-hmm. And when did this Junction Pool event begin? Do you remember?
Well, that's the story of the two-headed trout. The A writer back in many years ago, they got talking, and they got talking about the Junction Pool, the junction of the Beaverkill and the Willowemoc. And tradition was born that a trout came up to Junction Pool, and he couldn't decide which river to go up, the Willow or the Upper Beaverkill. And so he grew two heads.
And what is his name?
He's just the two-headed trout.
The two-headed trout? Ha, ha, ha. Have either of you, DEC Officer Scott Steingart or Miriam Stone, have you seen this two-headed trout?
Absolutely.
You have?
Yes.
He doesn't tell me where it comes up, but I haven't seen it.
I would love to see the two-headed trout. Well, that makes sense that, Officer Steingart, you've seen it because you spend so much time in the river and around the rivers.
Right.
And that trout knows you're protecting them, aren't you? So. And Miriam Stone, for Roscoe, the town that you live in and that you're so dedicated to, what are some of the goals that you see for the near future of Roscoe?
I think our near future is just bringing more tourists to town. The fishermen are just a start because we are in an area that is absolutely beautiful. We have the rivers and we have the mountains. We're getting more and more second home people here from the city. And we really want to become a destination place for weekenders, tourists, whatever. And some of the money that we make through the chamber goes towards beautification of the town. We also work with the streams around here. We do some stocking of fish. We plant trees along the riverside to stabilize banks. We're protecting our own environment, and that's our most important thing.
Well, thank you, Miriam Stone. And thank you, Scott Steingart. I'm speaking with Officer Scott Steingart, who is with the DEC, and Miriam Stone, who is the president of the Catskill Fly Center and Museum and also very involved in the Roscoe Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and
thank
have
you.
A good day. Thank
yep.
you.
Have a good day.
Sabrina Artell, and I am here with Trailer Talk on the site of Junction Pool, which is where the Willowemoc and the Beaverkill River join. I've been speaking with all different kinds of people who have come this morning, some to take part in the celebration. They're not fly fisher people, but they love the event, the reunion of it. Other people who are just passionate fly fisher men and women. I see Terry Schultz and Rip Torn outside the windows of my trailer. I'm looking forward to speaking to them both and finding out how that start of the fly fishing season went. It's a beautiful, beautiful day for fly fishing. It rained from 3 to 5 a.m. this morning. It has stopped. It is just a day of real celebration and excitement as people start this season. And I see the First Lady of Fly Fishing outside the windows of my trailer, Joan Wolf. Welcome. It is really a pleasure to speak with you. Hi.
Well, thank you for coming to our ceremonial opening here.
Well, you're very, very welcome. You are highly respected. You are the creator of techniques and theories of fly fishing, and along with your husband Lee Wolf, you really have shaped modern fly fishing.
Oh, I would say Lee shaped modern fly
Lee,
fishing.
Lee yep. did, and he was the creator of catch and release and this idea of that.
He said a good game fish is too valuable to be caught only once.
So what is the connection to that and preservation and the connection with fly fishing to environmental concerns? And
well, the
And I see you're emptying your pockets. Well, why don't you tell me what's coming out of those pockets?
Well, no, I was just trying to find a place to put my glasses, and I've got all kinds of things that I forgot were in here. But trout can only live in clean water. And so that immediately means that you've got to keep the water clean. And so the trout fishermen are very involved with conservation efforts, with pollution, with, you know, if we have floods, and we always will, then they come and they plant trees and that sort of thing.
I'm speaking with Joan Wolf. So we were talking about the connection to the environment and what the needs of the trout are.
Right. They have to have clean water. And the other wonderful thing is that clean water is usually in beautiful places, and so fly fishing and trout fishing take you to beautiful places.
So trout need clean water,
clean water, yes,
in order to survive.
And they also need a good insect life. And so those are other facets of the whole picture that conservationists can get involved with. We plant trees along the river so that the leaves go in and make good bottom for the nymphs. The early stages of these aquatic insects can live there. And so that's what the trout are feeding on. There are, we call them nymphs, we have categories, we have mayflies, caddisflies, they're all different shapes, they have different life cycles, but they're all approximately 1 year long, and the fish feed on them on the bottom of the river, and then in the spring, what we're looking for now is for these little bugs to come to the surface and change from submarines to flying airplanes. They come and they come up, and they break out of their shells, and their wings unfold, and then they drift down the river, and the trout take them, eat them, as they're drifting down the river. And we imitate those flies with artificial flies.
With the artificial flies, so you're either
imitating.
So you're imitating it, and there's a technique where you're fly fishing either on top or submerged in the water?
Yes. You can fish at all different levels. And again, because of the insect life, that determines where the fish are feeding.
Okay.
Right? So when the weather's colder, they're going to be feeding on the bottom. And then as these, we call them hatches, as the little insects come to the surface and become able to fly and mate and die all within about 24 hours and lay their eggs and die, I should say. That's the magic of this whole thing. And that's what we get involved with.
Joan Wolf, how did you become involved with fly fishing to start with? And you are the most well-known.
Well, I'm most well-known because I've been around the longest. I started in 1937 in New Jersey. My dad was a fisherman, had an outdoor store, and was a member of a casting club. So I started out as a tournament caster at the age of 10 or 11. And then that took me from state championships to national championships. I actually went to Europe and competed. And then I had a dancing school in between, and that's how I could travel around to do this. But then I became involved with a fishing tackle company. I really wanted to make a living in the fishing world, and you couldn't do it in the 50s is when I was trying to do it. You had to be a man, and you had to be a salesman. And so it was very, very tough. But I made some attempts and did some things and finally got a job with a Garcia Corporation, which was the largest fishing tackle manufacturer.
And where was this?
They were headquartered in New Jersey, but they sent me all over the country giving exhibitions and things like that.
This is Sabrina Artell with Trailer Talk, and I have Joan Wolf in the trailer with me, without a doubt, the most renowned fly fisher person, woman.
Fisherman, either way.
Fisherman or woman. Well,
no
fisherwoman.
Person.
No person. Okay, so we've nixed that. So fisherwoman, and you launched the season this morning at Junction Pool, and you were talking about how difficult it was in the 50s as a woman to make a living in the fishing business. So what happened?
Well, I did work with Garcia. It was a part-time job, but then I got married and had kids, and so, you know, I didn't actually have to have a full-time job doing it, so I was always able to do something. Then I married Lee Wolf, and we traveled and made films for American Sportsman and for different companies, and traveled all the fly fishing, you know, to Europe and to Central America and South America and so on. So I've fished, you know, pretty much almost everywhere there is, not everywhere.
And did you Would you say that your passion for fly fishing accelerated because of your marriage to Lee Wolf?
Yes, absolutely, because I had more opportunity with him than I had had before, yes.
And what is the magic that you were referring to before about fly fishing? What is the connection you feel in the river?
The natural world. That when you're standing in a river, you're part of it. It's not cement. You're part of the river bottom. You feel the flow of the water. And when you hook a fish, you are actually feeling a life force of another creature. And that through the tackle that you use, everything is light and it bends. And so you feel the fish's life force. And then you learn how to play it so that you don't hurt it. You get bring it in as quickly as possible. And here you can look at a wild creature that you have been able to bring to yourself through an artificial fly. It's really magical that the fish takes this fly and you can bring him to you, look at him and put him back and say, go grow up, go spawn, whatever. And so that for me is magic. Yes. And it's a real world. It's not artificial.
And Joan, at this stage in your fly fishing career, mm-hmm. what is it that you're most interested in? What is it that you're working toward?
Well, I have a mission, which is to bring more women into the sport. And I'm working with the Winston Rod Company, and I have a couple of rods with my name on them that have smaller grips with a little groove in the thing so that a woman's hand fits on there. One of the reasons there's so few women of my generation in this field is because the rods were too heavy and the grips were too thick. And you get cramps in your hand. You say, this is no fun. I'll go read a book, So I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to educate men to know that women need lighter tackle. We don't have the same strength. So I am doing this partly through my school. Lee and I started a school in Lou Beach in 1979. It's still going strong.
And it's the Wolf School of Fly Fishing. And you also have a line, the Royal Wolf Products.
That's right. Triangle taper line, which is another design of Lee's. It's designed differently from other lines. And so fly fishing is basically my life. I write. I've written 3 books. I wrote a column for a magazine for 22 years for Fly Rod and Reel. I'm trying to revise my first book, so it's
And what is the title of your first book?
Joan Wolf's Fly Casting Techniques.
So you're revising that now.
Okay. Yes.
And what are some of the names of the flies?
Well, Lee invented the Royal Wolf, which is what I was using this morning. It is not an imitation of anything. We call it an attractor. And he used to say, the fish doesn't know what it is. To us, it looks like maybe it would look like a chocolate sundae with strawberry sauce. And so the fish is curious, and he knows if he doesn't, all he can do is put his mouth on it to find out what it is. And then Lee did others, the white wolf and gray wolf and so on. But we have Hendrickson's, and we have Quill Gordon's. And we have a whole series of flies which are based on those hatches I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you can pretty well tell which ones are going to come first, second, third, fourth, through the months of April, May, June, and so on. Yeah, we have small little blue-winged olives that are around for a good part of the year.
Joan Wolf, do you still make these flies?
I don't tie flies.
Okay, so you don't.
No, but I was lucky I had a husband who did.
Okay, so at this point, is there someone that you go to that the work is...
You mean I would like to say yes. I would like to say yes. Right. I go to Mary Detty, who's our wonderful tire here. But I have so many flies in my house.
Oh, you do? From Lee Wolf?
From everybody. I've been doing this a long time. And you go out and your vest may have 200 flies in it. And you end up using, 3 or 4 in a day, something like that. But it's all part of the trappings, I would say, of fly fishermen. You have more flies than you need because you never know which one you're going to need.
And they are beautiful.
They are.
They're all very unique. From the other, I've seen some this morning in the trailer. People have brought them in. Oh, and you have a box of flies.
See, this kind of thing. And you have
those are incredible. So there could be over 100 in this box.
Yes, absolutely. There's another layer here.
Another layer, right. And they are there. All different shapes colors and sizes, and they do look like insects.
And some of them have a little bead head, which means that they will sink. And so I was using a royal wolf this morning, and then I had a little dropper, like an extra foot and a half of leader with one of those little bead heads on, thinking, well, if they're not on top, they might take underneath. But
that is
I didn't connect.
Incredible. And Joan, you were speaking of your interest at this point in your career of attracting more women mm-hmm. to the field, to the sport of fly fishing. And are you doing this at your school, the Wolf School of Fly Fishing?
Well, let me tell you that after Robert Redford's movie came out, A River Runs Through It, ever since then, that was 1992, I've had more women than men in the school.
Oh,
because they saw all these handsome men out there in the woods, and I used to have them all to myself.
Now you have to share them.
Now I have to share them, yes.
That is
but
very
it's been
funny.
Wonderful to see women coming in, because they have as much passion as a man about it. They now are able, you know, because of the way the world has gone, they can now afford to go places, hire guides, to have the best of it, just like men can. So it's well, I'm glad I've lived this long to see it.
Yes, and Joan, what has kept you here?
The fishing school here.
So it is the fishing school specifically.
But I do go to, I have a place in Florida.
Okay.
From which I've just returned. And there's another whole world of saltwater fishing.
Okay.
Or it's called flats fishing, where you it's like hunting. You don't cast until you see a fish.
Oh.
And so we're talking about bonefish, tarpon, permit. So that's another whole world.
You spend part of your year in...
I spend 3 months down in Florida, yeah. It's not the best time to be there because it's winter, but 2 years ago I caught a tarpon that weighed about 125 pounds, which is the largest of my career. So, you know, thinking at age 77, that's not bad.
not bad at all. Yeah. Joan, do you have a favorite spot here in the Catskills that you like to go to fish? Is that something you could share with me and everyone else?
Well, I'm fortunate in fishing, in being able to fish on the upper Beaverkill River. You know, I'm so busy that I tend to have to leave home to fish. And but here, you know, it's either the upper Beaverkill, a particular pool, and I have two grandsons, and I've been able to introduce them to fly fishing, on the river up there. But otherwise, I come when if I'm driving along and just see fish and fishermen, then I will join them. If Cairns Pool is one of the places, you know, that's famous, and where you can be 4 feet away from someone else and still have a fish to fish for.
And I'm sure they're so thrilled when they find out it's you. You pull over and join them.
Well, not necessarily.
Really? Competition.
No, I don't mean that. But,
right.
But I've never really been a natural-born fisherman, as I call them. I've had to learn. Natural fishermen have good, exceptional eyes, which I don't have, and they can look at a river and know exactly where a fish would lie. They have a predator instinct, and I don't have that. And so I've learned to fish through being able to cast. I can cover all the water and find out where the fish are, even if I can't figure it out ahead of time. You know, so that's been my entree into this world.
Incredible. Thank you, Joan Wolf. Thank you for joining me and for showing me your flies.
Would you share that with me, one of those?
A muffin. Yes, I made them.
You did?
I made them. Blueberry and lemon poppy seed. Oh, great. Gosh,
okay.
Really, it was a pleasure, and I appreciate you taking your time.
Well, we appreciate your being here and doing this. Great.
Thank you so much, Joan. It was a pleasure.
Trouble water. Who's that yonder? dressed in white, waiting the water. Must be the children of the Israelite. Oh, God's gonna trouble the water. Waiting the water, waiting the water. Children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Joan Wolf has been speaking with me during Trailer Talk, and Rip Torn and Terry Schultz will be joining me in the trailer. I am here stream side at Junction Pool.
Perhaps I'll see you at Junction Pool in those mystical waters, where if we're lucky, we'll receive a message from that ever elusive, magical, two-headed trout. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. For more information, please go to the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum at www.cffcm.net. This program is made possible in part with funds from the New York State Council on the Arts Individual Artist Program. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power, Talking Heads, Take Me to the River, Eva Cassidy, Wade in the Water. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.